Blog Talk Radio. This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits the non-traditional gallery setting. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening. Hello, and welcome to a one-on-one conversation with a junior journalist. Her name is Dani Elizabeth Boston. Hi, Dani.
Hi, Alpha.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Great. Dani is here because one of her assignments as a junior achiever is to interview a business owner, and she chose me, her grandmother, to interview me because, of course, I am an owner and I have a gallery practice, and I'm also an owner of my own curatorial practice and my consulting business. So I'm going to take it away. Dani, tell me a little bit about yourself.
I have a dog. I have one brother. I live really in the country.
I thought you lived in the village of Steger.
Yes.
Okay. How long have you lived in the village of Steger?
2 years.
2 years. And what school are you attending?
St. John's.
What kind of school is St. John's?
It's a micro school.
And what does that mean?
Like a private school.
Okay, great. So let's talk about what you're doing with Junior Achievement and why you're asking to interview me today.
What?
You know, let's start over. I asked you to tell me a little bit about yourself, and do you have a mother?
Yes.
And what's her name?
Jasmine.
Jasmine Bhutan Davis. Yes. And that is my daughter, and that's your mom, right?
Yes.
Great. We got to always remember to plug our family members when we're talking about ourselves. Okay. So let's jump right into the questions that you have for me today.
What kind of business do you own?
I own a curatorial business, and what that means is I curate art exhibits. The name of my art practice is the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, and that is a organization that networks with other artists and art organizations, and we put on art exhibits, we put on art shows in alternative exhibition spaces, and we also have a pop-up research station where we talk to other artists and people that are practicing the arts about projects that they're working on, and that's statewide and also nationally and internationally. Sometimes over in Europe, people call into our pop-up research station.
What do you like or dislike about owning a business?
What I like about it is that it's independent. I own it. I invest in it. It's my practice. I'm the director, and everybody says you're the chief curator, and so everything falls on me to dream it up, think it up, and make it happen, and also find the money to support it. I'm also kind of what you would call a philanthropist because I invest money that I make from my consulting business into my gallery, and all of that helps me for my lifestyle. You love coming to my loft, right?
Yes.
And then you live inside a gallery. So that's what I really love about my business is that I live like an artist. I am an artist.
How did you know you had the ability to be a business owner?
I've always kind of like been a business owner since I was like your age. Even when I was 5, I started drawing, and I was taught how to draw, and everybody loved the way I was so creative. And in the neighborhood growing up, I had these little businesses where we would throw like talent shows, And then that means that I was a project coordinator and event planner, and I learned how to get my own money by selling pop bottles. You know, that's when you could take it to the store and you can get 5 cents per bottle, you know, and we would make enough money. Me and my best friend, Babette Kirkpatrick at the time, we would go and we'd trade that bottles in and we'd have money and we'd buy all our snacks and we'd buy all of our juices and our sodas so that when our guests came and they would pay 10 cents to attend the talent show and everybody was talent. So that's kind of like I knew I had the ability since I was in elementary school, junior high school, and then in college I really kind of ran with it and coordinated activities. And to this day, that's the things that I do.
What skills do you need to run a business?
Well, the main skill that you need is to know how to read, know how to write, and know how to do mathematics. And you also need analytical skills because you have to think through things and conceptualize things and to reason with things. And you also need to have people skills, you know, and how to talk with people and convince them and persuade them to, you know, to agree with the things that, and you know, that you want to do. I think that's the most important thing when you go into business, to have the basic skills of business and how much you want to invest, how much you need to make a living, you know, how much you need to make to pay your overhead, meaning I need to know how much it takes for me to pay my rent, to keep my lights on, to run my computer, to be able to travel. So I sit down and I put a budget together, and then I look at that budget and then look at how much I need to charge my clients and how much do I need to earn to run my practice.
What are some of the risks involved in owning a business?
The risks are sometimes people don't buy your work. And sometimes you invest all that time and all that energy into putting a show together, and then you have no sales. You know, or sometimes things get damaged, and you have to replace them. You know, and it's always chasing the dollar and trying to make the dollar fit, you know, and earning money to just sustain your business. You know, the losses that you take every year, you know, and sometimes, again, when things are damaged, you have to make sure you have an insurance policy in place to cover the damages that happen so that you don't take the loss, you know. Sometimes people pull out of projects and they pull their funding out of projects, and that hurts our bottom line.
Who is your competition?
Well, all artists are my competition because I exhibit with, you know, other artists, and sometimes when the collectors come into the gallery, I'm really honored when they see my work outside of all the other work and they buy my work or they collect my work. It's an honor because everyone is so talented around me, and that's my competition, all the other artists that have great work, and their art may communicate to those collectors when mine doesn't. And sometimes some people sell 4, 5, and 6 paintings, and my painting just sits there. That's kind of my competition, the artists that are around me. Yeah.
How do businesses in the United States compete with others around the world?
How do they compete around the world? I think that while I've been traveling, and I only really travel when I say been traveling, I've only really had international shows, and my biggest one was in Berlin. And basically the art market is the same worldwide. You know, we have the same obstacles, you know, in producing the work and people believing in the work that we do, seeking out galleries to represent our work, paying to be in exhibits and stuff. I think that worldwide we all have the commonalities of how to make our work, how to live as artists and produce our work, and how to communicate to sell our work to buyers.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things you learned in school that helped you in your business?
Well, Well, one of the things that helped me when I was in school, and I'll say my first thing in elementary school when I was in sixth grade, I went to an art center, and I had never been to a circus before. And the art to draw a circus, my artwork was very abstract because it was all over the place. I didn't know what a circus looked like because I never went to a circus, so it was really abstract. But I was really proud of my drawing. But then when the instructor, Mr. McKnight, was critiquing our work, he said to the students that sometimes you really can't draw what you haven't seen. And that's one of my things that I learned early in life, that unless you have experienced it or you've visually seen it, then sometimes you can't draw it. You can't make it up in your mind. And that's one of the first things I learned. But when I went to college, I started learning the business of art. And then I started learning about art education. And then I started learning about, and that means then how to teach the arts. I was an art educator. And then I had to learn lesson plans and everything and how to teach other students. I had my talent, but now I needed to learn to learn the basics of the arts. And then as I got older, you know, in my 30s, I had to learn art administration and what that means and how to administrate art programs.
So what subjects could be taught in schools to help young people want to become interpreters?
Entrepreneurs? The skill sets, again, that you need to know as an entrepreneur is how to have math skills, how to learn how to do statistics in your math, learn how to read contracts and how to really understand contracts that needs to be taught in school more, how to do banking, how to invest your money. Those are the things that, like, when I talk to you about stocks in the stock market, they don't really teach that in school sometimes. And I think that those are the things that need to be taught to younger people like yourself so that you understand how to take your money and make your money grow and how to be an entrepreneur and how to market and get your work out, you know, and how to market and how to brand and how to, you know, really sell your company and make people believe in your company and how to get your audiences or get your customer base into, you know, into your business.
So, in your experience, what are the qualities you need to successfully to run a business?
The qualities to be successful is to really be a people person. Sometimes we are not impressionable. By making that good impression, sometimes I'm shy, believe it or not, and I don't really, sometimes I get, oh, I don't know what to say. Learn how to carry myself, learn how to present myself, and learn how to be confident, and learn how to talk to people so that you're inviting them to know more about you. Those are some things that are successful, and then all the rest of the things will happen. But you could have all of that. And if people don't like you or people are scared to approach you because you seem to not be approachable, that's the difference in people that are so successful because they are so confident in themselves and confident in their business and being an entrepreneur.
Yes. Is there a difference between a small business owner and an entrepreneur?
I don't think that there is a difference between them. They both, it's a business. An entrepreneur is when you're really by yourself, a sole proprietor, you're by yourself and you're the only one that is, you know, you're the driving force behind your business as an entrepreneur. A small business is meaning that you have other people that are working for you. You have, you know, yeah, other staff members, people that you pay. It's a small business operating maybe. Like in a storefront, you have your own, like, you know, this is a loft, this is, but it's a workspace, but like downstairs, the gallery, you know, is a bigger gallery, like how I introduced you to Mr. Bruce with the clothing store, that's a pop-up, you know, that's a business down there, you know, and we all are entrepreneurs.
What is the difference?
I thought maybe the difference between them is one small business, you have employees that work for you, you know, and with a entrepreneur, you are a sole proprietor. That means you're by yourself and you're the one that is the boss of your business and you're the one that makes all the decisions, and it's solely on you to think of and to think of how you're going to run this and how you're going to vision this and how you're going to design that business.
Do you start up businesses, get their potential funding?
Well, I do a lot of research and development. And what that means is I look and search for grant opportunities. I work for nonprofit organizations, and they give me a percentage of the funding or the grants that I write. They give me, I charge them 10%. There's a fee that goes along. And then sometimes I'm on a retainer, meaning that they pay me to do all of the, like, evaluations, all of the reports, all of the back office kinds of things. To start it up, you know, you do need a business license. You got to make sure that you are licensed with the city that you live in and have an operating tax certificate. You also have to have an employee identification number so that when you get ready to do your taxes and your tax report, you have all those things in place. You have to have your own, like, insurance. And so anyway, you get all of your basic startup, applications and tax licenses and all of those things in order to start your business. And then you start looking for startup funding to help invest into your building, your business.
What community resources support a strong business startup?
Mostly the community resources are like the Chamber of Commerce, like here in Chicago in Bronzeville, we have QCDC, that means the Quad City Development Corporation. They're there to help nonprofits and help small businesses or businesses in the Bronzeville community. I am a member of the Chicago as a Business Development Corporation of the city. I'm also a member of the Illinois Department of Commerce and the Illinois Arts Council, and also Department of Cultural Affairs. I am one of the artists that's registered, you know, to be able to do business with the city. So those are kind of the things that I have in place to start up my business.
Yeah.
So we have a few minutes left. Is there anything else that you'd like to ask me about that's not on the list of questions on the junior achievement?
What do some of your workers dislike or like?
I think some of that's a good question. That's a great question because some of the other artists that I partner with, they don't like the fact that sometimes I'm just straightforward and I don't know how to go around about and ask and say things tactfully. And that goes back to that personality trait. Sometimes I do kind of like, look, let's just go straight to the point, you know, on things. And that's what I've been told that people don't like about me, the straightforwardness, but also I'm very truthful about things. I research things, and I'm very fair with my opinion about things, you know, and I'm also accepting other points of view when we're talking about things. I don't really like to argue with people about points of view because everybody has a different perspective, you know, in how they think about things.
I would like to ask you, what is some of the artwork you do about?
Well, it depends on what the show is and what the exhibit is. I have several different types of themes in my work. I have things that are on social justice, and you may see me painting children in social justice, scenes. And I have artwork that's really abstract. You know, and I have artwork that's a jazz series that I respond to musicians and I draw the soundscapes that I hear and turn them into vibrational narratives. I like to paint people. I'm a photorealist, and I also am a textile artist. I like to do quilting and other fiber art. And let's see, I do sculptural environmental installation, and I create installations out in nature and in the woods sometimes. I did some great projects this summer in Brandywine, Maryland, at the Dubner's Garden in Maryland. And I did some projects out in California that were outdoor projects. I even wrap trees with canvas sometimes. You know, those are great projects for outdoors. I collect art from other artists that I have represented, and that's some of the work that you see here in the gallery. I actually invest into artists. You know, when I represent them, I feel it's important for me to purchase some of their art as well. I have a collection of your mom's when she was an art student. When she was a preteen, she did a lot of paintings when we were in California. And I have some of your art also here in the gallery, and I'd like to have some more of it as you mature in the arts. And I also have sculpture here in the as part of my collection, and some of the work in my collection I don't even have out because I have no more wall space. All right, and so I think that this is the ending of our broadcast. And on our interview, interviewing a business owner of a gallery practice. And my name is Alpha Breton, and thank you all for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits the non-traditional gallery setting. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Breton. Thank you for listening.